It's time to head out on the front porch on KFRM. Grab your favorite drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversation on the front porch.
On the front porch today, and we get a chance to visit with a friend of the front porch. We've had Vanessa Whiteside on with us before, a native of Wichita. The last time we were visiting, we were talking about 100 Things to Do in Wichita Before You Die. That was a book that Vanessa authored, and now she has a new book out, which we're going to reveal in a moment. It's fascinating, too, and it's promoting Wichita once again. Vanessa, thanks for joining us and sitting back down on the front porch with us.
Thanks, Rocky. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it's exciting to see the work that you've put in and things that I visit Wichita a lot. My in-laws live on Willow Bend in northern part of Wichita, and so my wife grew up in Wichita and then Newton, so we're there quite a bit, and there's a lot of things I've already seen in the book that I really hadn't even heard of, let alone gone and seen. So there'll be some scavenger hunting maybe going on a few trips down the road for us. But for our listeners, I mentioned you're native of Wichita. Give us, for some who weren't listening the last time we visited, a little background on kind of what got you into journalism and into writing and kind of that path.
Yeah, thanks for asking. And I'm excited for your scavenger hunt, by the way. You can talk more about that later. I'm a native Wichitan. Went through the school system here and just was always a part of journalism from high school on, and got a degree at KU in that, and just have always been someone who was curious and loved interviewing people and researching things and writing, which led to my travel site, OneDelightFulLife.com, and from that I ended up getting a book deal. So here we are with book number two. It's been really fun.
Yeah, I can imagine. OneDelightFulLife.com is a great website, and it features different places that Vanessa goes and visits. I know that you've been in town where we are located, and blogging, I'm sure, was something that was maybe going on when you were getting set to go into journalism, but not to the degree it is now. Obviously, it has become a career path for you. Is it still surprising that that is where your journalism took you?
A little bit. You know, I think when you're in journalism back in the day, well, at least for me, I thought I was going to be in a newsroom. Newsrooms look different these days.
Right.
So much online. So it evolved into a hobby I did on the side. I was teaching high school journalism at the time, and then now I've made it a business. And so, yeah, I get to travel to towns like the one you're in, and I've traveled all over Kansas, and now I've branched out going to Wisconsin later this month.
Oh, wow.
So there's all kinds of fun things coming up.
That's awesome. I'm glad it's still growing for you then, to get a chance to go out and see these locations, be shown around their different highlights of communities and areas, and then to feature them in your on your website, OneDelightFulLife.com. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, since the last time we visited, Vanessa's been named the Midwest Travel Network's 2022 Blogger of the Year, so congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I couldn't have done it without all the towns around Kansas hosting me, and so I'm really grateful for that experience. Thank you.
Talk about the idea behind the new book that is out, Secret Wichita, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. Where did the idea come from?
Well, this is a series that Reedy Press puts out, and when I had completed the first book and it was going well, they kind of nudged me and said, hey, what do you think about writing this one? And I was like, you know, I was already creating a short list of things on my phone, so let's do it. Really, this book, you mentioned the word scavenger or scavenger hunt.
Right.
It's meant to be a read, but also get you out there and going, what? I didn't know that was buried there.
Right.
On the campus of South State. I didn't know that place had this inside, or what is this doing there? So it's kind of fun to see the city with new eyes, and I hope that does it, you know, that's the feeling that residents get. And then people that visit the city, you know, once in a while, they'll have, like, new things to go discover. So I'm happy for that.
Yeah, without a doubt. And the different areas, objects, subjects that you focus on throughout the book, it's great that you get the backstory on it, too, or a story that's not even evident now that you give the backstory to. How many hours of research go into finding those tiny details that really make the story worth reading?
You know, it was a lot if I mention it in the foreword of the book. I spent countless sure. hours. I wrote this in 6 months. That was the agreement I signed with the publisher. I could have chose a year. I did it in 6 months, and I'm glad that I had a hard deadline because it helps motivate you as an author, but I certainly spent a lot of time researching newspapers.com. I mean, I dig through articles that were written for the Wichita Beacon in the late 1800s so that I could quote a mayor about an event about a place. So
right.
It was a lot of fun going down that rabbit hole, but yeah, I think I did my due diligence.
Yes, I would say so. Did you find opportunities to sit and visit with maybe people that are from that era, that were from those locations? Did that happen for you, or was it most of it online?
You know, that's a great question. I did, like, double down my efforts and just, you know, make sure that everything was correct. I did talk to some people, particularly like museum employees. There are some things in museums that you don't know enough about or maybe not realize are there. And so, yeah, there were some influential people that helped me, and I acknowledge them in the front of the book, because most certainly there's people that collect things in town or create things, and I needed to interview them personally.
Yeah, absolutely. Vanessa Whiteside is our guest on the front porch today, and we're talking about her new book, A Secret Wichita, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. Give us an idea behind the title, and there are weird things, there are wonderful things, and there are obscure things. Did that title, was it a working title, or did it come from what you ended up finding?
Good question. So that is a working title of the series, and insert Wichita, and then it becomes specific to a location. So they have this in other cities as well. I'm just glad to be able to do this one. So it gives you a framework. The design of the book was provided. So I knew it was going to be all color photography this time, unlike previous editions. So I was really excited to add my original photography to that. And then each entry, there's 84, starts with a question. So I'll just flip the book right now and look at one. Why is a robot buried underground at Wichita State University? That's the question I posed at the beginning of that page. And it's your job to find out more about this sci-fi sculpture. The framework was there, and my job was to present each entry in a way that was intriguing and, you know, ignite your curiosity. And if you've known about this thing before, maybe I tell you more history on it.
Yeah, and that is the case. I mean, there were some things that I've seen in the book that I'd either heard of, and some that I've seen, but then to have the background on why it's important, why it's weird, whatever the case may be. So tell me, I'm asking you about researching the backgrounds of these stories. How do you even begin deciding what you'll feature in this book?
Yeah, so just imagine doing this for where you live or where the listener lives, right? So you think, oh, well, that's kind of wonderful. Some people might think it's weird. I love it. Or that has always, you know, intrigued me. I bet it intrigues somebody else. Or maybe it's just something that I felt like more Wichitans should have pride in. I have a lot of pride in my city, and I want to celebrate these things or these artists or whatever it is. So, yeah, that's how I arrived at my list. And at first, it was half of my list was only half of what it is, and then I just drove all over town. I learned from people. You know, I asked questions like, what is something that you think should go in the book?
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's how I found the Yellow Brick Road in Wichita. Did you know that was there?
I did not. I did see that in the book, and you didn't know then.
No, I didn't know.
That's great.
I didn't know Park when I was a kid. I was like, what?
That's great. Hey, I'm going to take a break. I want to dig more into the making of, and then we're going to give some features of the book to our listeners so they have an idea of what it's all about. We're with Vanessa Whiteside today on the front porch, the author of Secret Wichita, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. We'll return in just a bit. Once again on the front porch, and we're visiting with Vanessa Whiteside. As we mentioned earlier, the last time we visited, we were talking about 100 Things to Do in Wichita Before You Die. That was the first book. And then she followed it up with the book that's out now called Secret Wichita, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. The 2022 Blogger of the Year. Her work has been featured in all kinds of publications throughout the Midwest and certainly throughout the country, and she's expanding her horizons. We just found out heading to Wyoming. If you don't know the story of Vanessa, we kind of shared a brief look at it earlier. She has a website, onedelightfullife.com. She visits different communities, locations, and she did that in Clay Center a while back, and then had the follow-up blog on that website, and it just features things that have will pique people's interest to go visit those communities. And I think it's a really cool career and an interesting career. And we talked the first time how common that is. I guess for listeners that weren't around, this has become something that more and more people have had a chance to get into and make careers out of. But you were kind of on the ground floor of getting this thing going, right?
I mean, I think so. I have some mentors that have been doing it longer than me that I really look up to, and they've guided me through the process. But, yeah, I mean, you know, one day I was teaching high school journalism and English to kids, photography and whatnot, and one of my students said, well, what would be your dream job? And I kind of giggled, and I thought about it, and I was like, well, to be able to be paid to be a travel writer would be pretty cool. And now I get to do that, so I'm very fortunate.
Yeah, you mentioned teaching, and you mentioned photography as you were moving through that journalism portion as a teacher. And I know you are a photographer, and I know that you provide your own pictures for the two books that you've put out.
Yep.
What are the things, trying to see how to form this question where it might make some sense. What are the pictures that you are trying to capture when you visit? Are there different things you're trying to capture depending on what the subject is that you're talking about being weird, wonderful, or obscure?
Yeah, so I'm actually looking at a page of the book that I think really intrigues people, and the pictures from this shoot were done at a place called Steampunk Village, which is located in West Wichita on 17th Street, and it's this gentleman, Gary Pendergrass's folk art, metal art, creations. He literally has a working shop, and you can tour it, and it's open, and it's really fun. So when I shot these pictures, you know, I just think about, like, if I showcase this, would this capture it in a storytelling way?
Mm-hmm.
And then also, would this intrigue people enough to want to come see it? And that's how I think when I'm on the road, too. you know, I want to capture the best of something in the best light. So, yeah, it's fun. I get to go behind the scenes a lot, too.
So then, yeah, I bet so. And then the follow-up is, how difficult is it to choose what makes the book?
Sure. Yeah, you go through hundreds of pictures. You asked me about how much time I spent researching. That doesn't even include, like, the editing of the photos and choosing the right ones, and they have to be a certain size. So it just takes time, and you narrow it down to the, you know, the one that appeals to you and the publisher and that you hope the readers will love.
So as you started into this venture of the book Secret Wichita, what was the very first thing that popped in your mind that you were going to include? Did you have something? Did you have a short list already in mind?
I sure did. So when I was doing book signing events for my first book last year, people would approach the table and start flipping through the book, and they'd say, well, you did put the Wichita Troll in this one, right? If you're not familiar, we have a sculpture that's a troll that sits underneath the grate near the Keeper of the Plains downtown on the Arkansas River, and it is an art attraction, but it's underground, and you have to look through a grate to see it. And why is it there? You can find out in this book. It was the very first entry in this book. I knew if I got to write this book that that would definitely be in it, and then there's certain things that are iconic to our city that are in the book. But, you know, I didn't know a lot about some of the founders of our city. I took a deep dive in that, went to their grave sites, took pictures of those monuments.
Sure.
I really wanted to include things that you, that you'd want to go seek out and find yourself.
As you talked about the troll that's underground, I wonder how many people, I'm sure that many that go to the botanicals know that that's there, but I wonder how many people have walked and never had any idea to look down and find it. Do you think that's a pretty large amount?
Yeah, because there's still people that say, what troll? And they've lived here all their life. And I'm like, well, I'll tell you all about it. So, yeah, it's just off the beaten path. And that's the, you know, that's the common theme of this book. What are the things that are also off the beaten path? So I tried to make sure I included all sides of town so that you had a reason to go over there. You know, I work in tourism, so I want you to also discover other things while you're driving around. So, yeah, that was definitely something I had to include.
I thought it was interesting, too, and I don't know why I had this in my head. I thought it would be the things like steampunk art, and which I didn't know about before the book, but I thought it would be places to visit of that nature, the troll, the hidden troll, you know, different things. But I also love the fact that you included landmark businesses in the book as well, because that's certainly a part of what visiting and finding those wonderful, maybe obscure. Mort Cigar Bar came to mind when I saw the picture and the steam pipe that has been turned into a cigar, and I've been there many times. I love the atmosphere there, but I thought it was neat you included businesses. How did you go about deciding which ones you would feature?
Yeah, that was tough. You know, you mentioned Mort. It's like you sit there and you enjoy your popcorn and maybe a martini or craft beer. And I had been there many times, and like you look up and you think, that's really odd. And who had this idea? And it fits, right? So that kind of came about organically. Just, I make a point of being out and about in the community a lot. And so when I notice something that fits the, you know, the book, then I write it down and then I pursue it. But then there's other places like museums where maybe you've been there a bunch of times, but you didn't know the back history of how the electric guitar debuted in Wichita. I talk about that in the book. Mm. Or how is it that in Wichita, Kansas, we have ancient Egyptian mummies on display, and there's a whole backstory to that. So It's just things like that intrigued me.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to make sure everybody else knew about them, too.
For sure. I can imagine. And the history behind everything, I think, is not the best part of the book, but it certainly adds so much to a place you can actually go visit and then understand what happened to make it become what it is, or what happened.
Mm-hmm.
There's one about an amusement park that's no longer there.
Ackerman Island.
Yes. And
So a lot of Wichitans know about Joyland and talk about it frequently in small private groups on Facebook. They miss it so much. But a lot of people don't realize that, you know, there was an island in what is now the Arkansas River. And I talked to you about that on page 6 and 7. Like, what do you mean there was an island?
Right.
How was it that there was a roller coaster on this island? And how did this all come about in the late 1800s? And then why isn't there one now?
Yeah, yeah. Why was there an island and an amusement park on an island that where there's no island? Yeah. I mean, it's just fascinating to find the backstories on different subjects. Vanessa, I'm going to get another break in right here, and we're going to come back and talk more about the new book and maybe if there's some new ventures that Vanessa has in mind. I, for some reason, have a feeling, I said this the last time we visited, that your mind doesn't go stagnant very often. I have a feeling anyway, there's something going on. We're going to visit more on the front porch with Vanessa Whiteside. Again, we return on the front porch visiting today with a friend of the show, Vanessa Whiteside. We had on some time ago. She had visited Clay Center, as I've mentioned during the show today, did a blog, which is what her career is, on onedelightfullife.com. But she was also promoting her book, the award-winning 100 Things to Do in Wichita Before You Die, and now the new book that's out, Secret Wichita, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. It's fun to look, as we mentioned, at the different places to go visit, and I think that is really as much about what you're about as anything, is getting people out and about and enjoying different communities, but certainly your Wichita.
Yes. I mean, I just look at it this way. Like, life is so short. Time goes by so fast, especially as we get older. So we need to make a point of making it more fulfilling. And I think one of those ways is just to really hone in and get to know your community. For me, it's Wichita. And then when I travel on the road with the blog or writing for a magazine or whatever, then I get to, you know, get really acquainted with those communities and meet the residents and tell their story. So, yeah, it's been fun.
You know, we've mentioned your website, onedelightfullife.com, but also your Facebook page is full of information on this particular book and maybe some of the appearances that you make and different things. I've just been thumbing through it earlier today and just kind of, it's fun to look and see. I mean, the first post I look at is the historic Delano area, which I've been there, I've shopped, and then you've got a backstory on Facebook about this and with the book as well. But that's a neat little area that I think a lot of people know about in Wichita, but they may not have any idea of the fun facts behind it.
Sure, yeah. That one's really fun to talk about because, as we know, it was part of the Chisholm Trail coming up from Texas up to Abilene. And so we have the whole Chisholm Trail history there. But did you know these small facts, which I gleaned from my reading of newspapers? I mean, you really have to do some research to find this stuff and be like, is that really true? So, cowboys used to bathe in our river. Same place they probably washed their horses.
Well, it was the most, probably that made the most sense at that time in their lives, right? To take a dip and call it a bath, I guess. So,
it was a rowdy neighborhood.
I'm sure it. Sure, it was. If you were to give the listeners and have them go find the backstory by getting this book, but if you had
this is probably hard for you, but if there were certain stories, areas that you would put as a top, whatever, maybe some highlights just to pique interest, do you have kind of a list that you would share? I know they're all your little babies, and I know that each yeah. one's important. I get that, but just to kind of maybe get a listener to go, I think I really need to look into this.
Yeah, sure. So I think there's a lot of history and unique things to be found on our college campuses in Wichita. I included two friends in Wichita State. And those go, they date back to when, you know, Wichita was a newer city, when College Hill was considered a high point,
right.
You know, a tall overlook in our city. I think getting to know about how a city puts a priority on supporting the arts is a theme that you realize when you read the book, and how important that is to creating a sense of community, especially in certain neighborhoods. So I think you'll learn a lot more about just like how the city came to be and how we continue to support it as we do. So
yeah, no, that's a great way to highlight the information. It's Secret Wichita, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. I was mentioning, or actually before I go with another question, how to get the book. What's the best way to find the book or order the book?
Yeah, so I would love it if people would head over to onedelightfullife.com and click on the My Books tab. And from there, you can order them directly from me, and I'm happy to ship them to you anywhere in the United States. So I did that for somebody yesterday. You can also order them online through readpress.com. And they're available in all the bookstores in our community. But you can also get them from, like, Amazon.com. So you should be able to find it pretty much anywhere.
And how many appearances are you making? I know you have something coming up this weekend, but how often are you out and about?
Yeah, I try to make sure that I'm spacing these signings out so that everybody can make it to something that works in their schedule. So last night I had my private party for friends and family. Even they said there were things in the book that they didn't realize that really made me happy.
Yeah.
Saturday you'll find me at Watermark Cafe and Books in Wichita. And then I think I have like 8 or 9 more signings after that. You can find them all listed on the events tab of the Secret Wichita Facebook page.
Very good. And the different locations you're traveling to as far as being a travel blogger, how often are you gone and visiting different communities, areas?
Well, just this month, I spent a week in Missouri. I spent a week in Iowa. I've been around Kansas. On Friday, you'll find me at the Walnut Valley Bluegrass Festival in Winfield. In October, I'll be in Southwest Kansas checking out Liberal and going to the Kansas Tourism Conference. And I'm in talks to go back to your area of the woods hopefully soon. So stay
very
tuned.
Very good. Yeah, very good. And the trip to Wyoming, the out-of-state stuff that has started to come in for you, that's got to be exciting to see your areas grow, right?
Yes. I'm excited to go back, or I shouldn't say go back, go to Wisconsin for the first time. I'll be checking out a lakeside resort up there. And that expands my reach, but it also tells people that are from this area how accessible things are. I'm looking to do more coverage on places where you can get a direct flight out of an airport near you in Kansas and make it, you know, more knowledgeable for people, how easy it is to get to places. And I usually go to places that, you know, are pretty budget friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone can feel like they can go to those spots.
excellent point on the direct flight, because that is something that really makes travel more friendly for everyone. Also, I'm looking through onedelightfullife.com, the website, and you know, seeing the places you've been to, you just kind of highlighted some of those places. And I apologize, I think I said Wyoming, not Wisconsin, that you'll be headed to. But it's also, as I've looked through some of the areas, and I know this is the idea behind it, but it really does give ideas for people in their own state, maybe in their own area, that they just have not thought was, maybe, I don't know if it's worth visiting, maybe it's too close, it can't be that big of a deal. And then you find out through what you experience that, man, we're missing out.
That is my ultimate goal. I mean, I love highlighting all things local. You won't see me going to many franchise places. I like talking to the small business owner when I reach a town. Usually my itineraries are in partnership with my host, whether it's a CVB or a City of or whomever. But I want to hear more of what I occasionally hear from people is, I've lived here 20 years. I've lived here all my life, and I've never actually taken the time to go over there and check that out. Now I'm going to.
Yeah.
Well, I love that.
Yeah,
that
is awesome.
That fooled me. Yeah.
And I guarantee you there are more people than not that fit that mode. I just know that from visiting with people. I just never have gotten over there. You know, it's 15 miles away. And I just haven't had time. And it's like, well, yeah, if you just made time. And you might just be sharing it with everybody else once you go and visit those locations. I think that's just so much the norm. Do you find that too?
Oh, I do, for sure. And sometimes, even for me, I'm like, how come I haven't done this yet? And I mean, we're all guilty of it. We have busy lives, you know, we're working, or some people are raising kids. There's just a lot going on. But I think once you do something like that that's new to you, you just see a different perspective, and you also realize the hard work that people are doing around our state. Like when I visit with, or anywhere that you go, but when you visit with a farmer and you realize how, you know, whatever it is that they're producing agriculture-wise makes it to our table or into the restaurant that I'm dining at later on in the day. I mean, it's just really rewarding to be able to tell that story.
You know, something else that just made me think, as you visited Clay Center, and I'm not trying to promote Clay Center, but it was neat to see response following your visit. The number of people that, and I know it's not just you that did this, but collectively, for those who don't know, Clay Center's had a mural movement going on, and it's blown up. It was a Rotary project that was going to raise some funds. They wanted to get, you know, one mural up, and it just caught fire. And it's really neat to see out of state, out of county, out of state tags that are, they've got their, they've either QR code and they've got their phones with the map, or they've picked up a map and they're literally, you can see them visiting the murals, taking pictures in front of the murals. And that's something that you're promoting everywhere, but it is something that, and it's typically families you see walking across the street with the light, because it's right at our intersection of 15 to 24, and it's usually families of all ages that are together doing something fun.
Yeah, and those kind of initiatives that organizations put together and make happen, I've witnessed this firsthand. You know, I'm going to Salina doing more murals in October. I'll be back there. You see people come to town for that, but then they're spending their money at local businesses. Or there's, you know, for me, I stayed in the one-room schoolhouse overnight in Clay Center. You know, they're picking lodging options they didn't know about before or didn't realize were there. They're making it an overnight experience. So it benefits everybody.
And these hidden gems are just everywhere. That's what's cool about what you're doing is highlighting these places that some know about, haven't visited, as I mentioned, but also some that never even had an idea there was something of that nature they could go visit. So it's very, very cool, I think.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll take one more break. We'll come back, and we're going to then visit what the future is holding for Vanessa Whiteside, our guest on the Front Porch. Today on the Front Porch, we visit with Vanessa Whiteside. We really appreciate it. I know your schedule is incredibly busy, not just your work with your website and in office, but then all the travel that you do. So appreciate you sitting down and visiting with us. I know that the new book we've mentioned, and I will certainly mention it again before we finish, but for those who missed out earlier on the title, it's Secret Wichita, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. I would probably most advise you go to onedelightfullife.com because you're going to find out things about locations in Kansas and other states that you may not know about, or find out that you really should go visit some of these places. But you also can order the book right there online, onedelightfullife.com. And you can also look at the first book, 100 Things to Do in Wichita Before You Die. So I've kind of teased, and we mentioned during the break, I said, now I've teased that you probably have something in the works, because I just don't think you sit idle very often. And I thought, I hope you do, because we won't have much to talk about if you don't. What is the future for you?
Yeah, when I come off the road, I'm busy writing something, right? So, I'm going to expand my travel trajectory. I'm going to get out to more places and bring those to the readers so they can find more things to do. You don't have to twist my arm. I'll probably write another book if I'm asked. So we'll see about that. There's always the option to write a second edition of the 100 Things Wichita book. So. We'll see how this one goes. And then just yesterday, a couple people were trying to convince me to start a podcast. And I don't know if I'm ready for that, but now I've kind of, written that down as a possibility. What would that look like? I love interviewing people just like I like being interviewed. So we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah. And would it be, you don't know yet, but I'm guessing maybe locations and the people that would know about those locations. Is it going to be a travel podcast?
Yeah, I think it would be a branch of One Delightful Life, and it would be a zeroed in, closer focus on some of the people at the places that I get to experience, and I want more people to hear about in a more in depth way. I mean, to hear their voice come through would be really. Really great. So yeah. We'll see. I don't know. I'm just talking it out loud right now.
It's a cool idea, I think. I had a question in mind that I was going to ask you, and I actually wrote it down. You have written two books, as you mentioned. You would be open if someone approaches you. As a journalist, wanted to be from an early age, KU, a journalism major. Now you're writing for a career as a travel writer. Is there anything that you would like to take on as a project outside of travel, or is that just so much your passion that is your lane you want to stay in?
You know, I've been full-time travel writing for a couple of years now, and it is so much fun, and there's so much ground left to cover. I mean, even in Kansas, I'm just looking up at I have this beautiful map framed above my desk right now. Just looking at it, I'm like, gosh, I need to get over there. I need to get back to that, or I've never done that. So I think right now I'll stick with travel, but, ask me in 5 years and I'll probably have another project.
Might have a different kind of answer. The other thing I was going to ask, and I don't think I asked you this before, but if there was – as a traveler and a writer of traveling, is there a bucket list that you have a place to visit? And don't confine it to the States or anywhere. Do you have a place that you've not been to before that, man, if I could make that happen, that's where I would go?
Yeah, I think so. For me, I'd like to go to the Northeast.
I've never experienced that part of the United States. And the ultimate bucket list item for me would be to go to Europe. So ask me in a couple of years, and hopefully I've been.
Well, you're stretching it out. So you got Wisconsin in line. You've had Iowa and Missouri.
Why not
just stretch it on out further and further? For our listeners, again, give them the pitch. We've given a pretty good job, I think, of what the new book is about. But tease them with something, again, that will make them want to go get it, pick it up, and then dig into everything else they can go find in Wichita.
Sure. So do you want a specific place, or do you just want...
Give me one specific place, and then maybe with a little bit of detail, and then follow that up with just a handful of places that pop off the top of your head.
Sure. So, just recently, the Kansas Aviation Museum hosted a paranormal tour, and you can sign up for these tours when they host them. They hand you a flashlight, and you go and investigate the spirits that supposedly live in the museum. I've done it before. You know, that used to be the first Wichita airport, so... that's intriguing, right?
No kidding, yeah. Very cool. Very, very cool.
I think a second one would be, I would like to see more people visit a permanent exhibit over at Exploration Place that I included in the book. The question is, what if it was possible to flash back to 1950s Kansas in the blink of an eye? So now you're intrigued to check out.
Can do that. I actually... saw that and thought how cool of a scenario they've set up for people to experience what that would feel like. Very, very cool. You mentioned earlier there's a potential for a second edition of 100 Things to Do in Wichita Before You Die. Do you have a list that's close to that number already because they didn't make the cut in the first book?
Yes. So I put my notes in the notes section of my phone. God forbid I ever lose this phone. But, yes, I do have a short list, and I'm going to keep that close to the chest until I get that chance. But, yeah, I've
sure.
got some ideas.
I had a feeling.
And I would take ideas from others if your listeners want to comment or get any ideas. I'll accept those, too.
You'll take more ideas. And
yeah, of course.
And so how long is the list of – the Secret Wichita Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure, the new book. How long is the list of things you wish you could have included and just there wasn't room?
Yeah, I already feel that. I mean, there's 84 things in here that I don't know why that's the number. I think it's the page count for the book, but... Yes, there's already things, and this happens. I'll be sitting at a book signing on somebody's. Did you know that at South High School that the students write on the walls in the basement? And I'm like, what?
What?
I need to know more about this. So there's just different things that will come up, and yeah, there's that's why I have the Facebook pages that go with the books, because then I'm able to share bonus content. So I encourage people. To, at the very least, follow those Facebook pages to learn more.
I've had the book in my hand right now, and I just will tell our listeners, I've read not all of it yet, but I've read a bunch of it, and right now I'm just literally thumbing through, and the pictures are just dazzling. And I think, if nothing else, start there and then dig into what those pictures are actually revealing in Wichita. It's a really cool idea and put together so very well. Vanessa, you're always fun to have on the show. We appreciate you visiting about the new book and about your career and the things that are going on and continuing to expand. It's impressive what you've been able to build and continue to build. So good on you.
Hey, thanks so much. I love this show, and I love it when you call me. So thank you.
Very good. Again, Secret Wichita, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. I'll tell you once more to find out more details and to find out more about
what Vanessa does with her blogging about the different places she visits. The website is onedelightfullife.com. Vanessa Whiteside is our guest on the Front Porch.